So just, my name's Justice, and just for fun, because I realize that some of you might know who I am, but some of you don't, so if you could do a little test with me, raise your hand if you were here at Crossroads in 2012 or earlier than 2012, okay? So raise your hand if that you've come since 2012, okay? So we've got a few new people, all right. Very good. Interesting to see in the second service as well who's been here for a while. I have some slides up there on the screen just to give a brief update about my family and about our church. That's my family. If you haven't met us yet, my eldest, Isaiah, is now 17, and he is off at Black Forest Academy, which is a Christian missionary boarding school in Germany. And my wife is holding our baby girl, Grace, who's now 4 and runs the family. And my daughter Thea is almost turning, she'll be 16 next month, which is hard to imagine, and my boy Silas is 11 going on 12, so they've all obviously, they keep growing, don't they? And they, I was talking to this morning about coming here, and this is an interesting development, just tells you how we've matured as a church and as a family. When we first started the church 5 years ago in Saint-Genis, my kids missed Fernet all the time. They wanted to go back. They wanted to be a part of Sunday school and youth group and everything. This morning, I asked them, hey, you want to come with me back? And they were like, no, we don't want to miss our friends that we have here at the church because this is what we know. And so I thought that was interesting because it shows that they have now become very comfortable in our new setting. But just a few highlights. Last time I shared with the church, I think it was must have been the fall of 2016 at the EGM because last year was our first year fully autonomous as a church. Fully independent with our own AGM and EGM and elder board and budget, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of big steps took place this last year. We're in a new building, which is a huge answer to prayer. And so if you've never been and visited, we're in Tuareg now near the Val Tuareg Shopping Center. And God has just been so good to us. We took a very big step of faith to move into this building, and it's been a real blessing to us. We've already been able to be a blessing to many others as well. We've hosted multiple French worship gatherings and prayer gatherings in the building. We were able to do things during the week, which we weren't able to do before because we were only renting a hall on Sunday morning. So the first year has just blown by quickly, and it's been great to see how God has used the building. We have growing small groups and youth group and children's ministry and all these different things as a church. So we just praise God for that. Yeah, thank you. And we appreciate your prayers. And earlier it was mentioned that we are a sister church. In a way, we are your sister church, but we're also your daughter church. You were the ones that sent us out, and with your prayers and financial support, God is doing good things in Tuareg, and I'd ask you to keep praying. Our vision, I heard, for the church here, you've been talking about God doing a new thing. Is that right? Yeah, yeah. Amen to that. The new thing that God's doing with us is that we stepped out in faith as in stepping into the Jordan River. That was really an important theme for us, to step out in faith and plant the church. Now we feel like God is calling us to be a springs of living water, that we would bless the communities around us and we would continue to reach more people with God's love. And so that's the picture for us that's for this year. And the theme for us this year comes out of my own personal journey that I will share in just a minute. And that is that our theme is pray first. Our theme is pray first. Last fall I got to a point where I was just feeling a bit overwhelmed with everything on my plate. Anybody ever been there before? Where there's just so much going on and you just feel like you just don't have the strength to face what you're facing. And I don't know what it was. Maybe it was my son going off to boarding school that really hit me hard. Parents, if you have children that have gone off away, I was a mess. I was weeping, crying all the time. And it just made me realize how time has blown by and you start to reflect and look back and all those kind of things. And I felt God calling me to pray more, to cast my burdens, my cares onto Him. So I made a commitment each day to pray for the church for an hour each day, that I would walk and pray for an hour each day. And it wasn't because that I hadn't prayed before, but this was a new commitment for me to say, you know what, every day, the first thing I'm going to do when I first get in the office is I'm going to drop my stuff off before I get to the emails, before I get to this or that. I'm going to go outside and walk out that door, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pour out my heart to the Lord, and I'm going to intercede for the church because this is the only way this thing's going to go forward. And so it's been really encouraging for me personally. I would say that God has, This is the closest I've ever felt to the Lord in my journey with Him. And I see Him doing miracles in a lot of places, and I attribute that to the power of prayer. So I just want to encourage you, if you would continue to pray for us. This has now become something that we are starting a worship gathering once a month on Sunday evenings called The Well, where we're just coming seeking the Lord and asking Him to fill us with His Holy Spirit to empower us for the work of the ministry. So we will also be starting a series called The 40 Days of Prayer in a couple weeks. So we're all in on this prayer thing. And I believe that God is going to do big things in Tuareg with us and with the ministry. So just want to encourage you with that. That's just a brief update. You can scroll maybe through some of the pictures. There's a picture of us at the retreat last year. We took, there's about 50 or so of us that went away to Annecy. Just some pictures of fellowship, the youth group, and different things. Yeah, that's more of the youth group meeting. A lot of faces you might not know, a baby dedication. Some of you may know Kingsley and Abna. More of the children, my kids, just different ones. I thought you could recognize some familiar faces. Very good. Yeah, let's just keep those going. So prayer's a big deal for us, and I have a few quotes just to encourage you. This is just extra bonus. This isn't my message this morning, but this is what's been on my heart. There's a quote from John Wesley that says this: God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. Or maybe you've heard this from Corrie Ten Boom. She was a survivor of the Holocaust. She said, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Do we go to God first, or is it the last resort? Jim Cimbala once said, prayer begets revival, which begets more prayer. Or it's been said, when I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't, they don't. I like that one. And this one really means a lot to me. Personally, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. And that's Oswald Chambers who said that. Yeah, we believe God's going to do great things, and we're praying for breakthrough this year. And we will pray the same for you here in Ferney. My message this morning is the beginning of a series, which when you have a guest speaker starting off a series, I don't know where you've been or what you've been talking about, but here's what I want to talk about this morning. Has anybody ever been discouraged in their lives? Ever felt down, ever felt just like the way the world is on top of you? And if you're like me, there's a couple things you might do when you're feeling down. One, you might eat chocolate, you know, because chocolate's always, we're in a good place to have chocolate here. Others, you want to just watch Netflix and escape everything. Or maybe you'd like to go for a run or for a walk or go shopping. I don't know what you do, but none of those are bad things. None of those are bad things, but this morning I want to share with you five things that Scripture teaches us we should do when we are faced with the temptation to be discouraged. And if you look back in the Bible, in the Old Testament, you know King David. You've heard about David, right? He was the boy, the shepherd boy who killed Goliath and became king and did some amazing things. He's called a man after God's own heart. There's this one little story. We won't have time to read the whole story this morning. But David was running for his life, and he had a band of men around him that were his mighty warriors, and he had allied himself with a foreign king, and they went off to fight, and they had conquered this in this battle, and then he goes back to his town, and his town has been completely destroyed. And even worse than that, the wives and the children of all the men that went off to fight, they're gone. And it says in this little verse, it says, and the men were thinking about killing David. He was having a really bad day. And then there's this little tiny verse that says, in 1 Samuel, if you want to look it up later, 1 Samuel 30, he says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. What does that mean? And what does that look like? How do we encourage ourselves in the Lord? So that's what I want to share with you this morning, because just thinking and praying about how Crossroads Ferney is doing, I'm guessing there might be a tinge of discouragement. Your senior pastor, Larry, left this past fall. I keep hearing the rumors, and I don't know the latest news about the building and what's happening with this building, but you're thinking, okay, no senior pastor, no building, what's going on? Well, I want to encourage you here this morning that God sees, He knows, and He has a plan. And just like the list that was put up there about the pastor and the elders, can I encourage you with something? They're praying for you. Would you pray for them, because believe it or not, pastors and elders get discouraged too, right? If there's one thing I've learned over the 22 years of being in full-time ministry is that oftentimes it's a real fight to stay encouraged in the Lord. Why? Well, I'll tell you why in a minute, but one of the reasons why is because the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, is casting lies and doubt and discouragement and confusion whenever and wherever possible. So when you're on the front lines of ministry and you're serving, you're giving your all, guess what you're going to be facing? All kinds of opposition, and so it's easy to get discouraged. So they've asked you to come to them, so I'm not ignoring what Alan said, but would you pray for them too? Would you pray that God would encourage them and give them fresh vision and power to lead well? Because that's important. Now, so if you have a pen and a piece of paper, you might want to write these five things down. Because one of the things I've learned is that it's been said that the shortest pencil is longer than the longest memory. Okay, and what does that mean? That means you come and you listen to a message and they say, wow, that was really great. And by about 12 hours later, you cannot remember 95% of what was said. So I hope that that's not the case here, that you'll remember some of the things that I've shared with you this morning and that they may encourage you later this week. So I'm going to pray as we get into this, and I just ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to each heart this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you're doing in the lives of each person here in this room. Thank you for the way that you are drawing them to yourself. Thank you for the message that reminded us that loving equals obeying, that you want us to obey and to follow in your ways. You are our God, and we want to step by step follow you and be in step with the Holy Spirit. So this morning I pray that each heart would be encouraged. I pray that this morning every heart would be turned towards you, that God, whatever is on our minds, we'd be able to give those things to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, so one of the first things we have to do, the Bible teaches us, is that when we're feeling discouraged or we're facing discouragement, is that we need to release our troubles to the Lord. We need to release our troubles to the Lord. And there's some beautiful passages of Scripture that use different words, and they all have a similar kind of picture. Psalm chapter 5 says this, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation." And Psalm 55 in the Message says it this way, "Pile your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry the load and help you out." Psalm 62 says, "Pour out your troubles to God, for he is our refuge." In the New Testament, Peter says it this way. He says, "Cast all your cares or your anxieties on him, for he cares for you." And finally, Paul, who's writing this from prison, you would think it's a place to be discouraged, but he's always encouraged in the Lord. He says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now, here's the problem if you're like me. There's all these verses that talk about piling and casting and giving and releasing. And let's just say these are my troubles, this box of tissues this morning, things I'm crying over or discouraged about. You cannot cast something and hold on to it at the same time, right? And this is what we tend to do. Okay, the Bible says, give God my problems, pour my heart out to him, and I go to give it to him, and then I take them right back. Right? So you cannot cast something. To cast something literally means to let go and give away those problems. And one of the things I've been learning on these prayer walks each day is to just pour out my heart to God. All the troubles and worries and concerns that I have about my family, about my kids, about the church family, about all these different things, my finance, whatever it is, I'm learning slowly to release those things to the Lord and to leave them there with him, not take them right back. If you're like me, there's this kind of battle going on. You take it and you give it away and you take it right back. But God's word makes it very clear that we should give him our worries and concerns. We're not meant to carry those alone. And so I want to encourage you with that this morning. The first thing that I've been learning is just to pour out my heart to the Lord. doesn't have to be pretty language. Doesn't have to, you know, I wonder what sometimes the people think around where the building is, because they see me out there walking and praying and singing and crying, and I'm doing this every day. And the owner of the building, Mr. Vies, he saw me the other day, and he was like, "Where are you going?" And I said, because I was putting on my hat, my gloves, and everything, and it was like 3 degrees and pouring rain sideways. And I said, "Well, I've made a commitment to walk and to pray for the church every day." And he's like, "Ah, you're going out to look for inspiration." And I was like, "Well, yeah, that's part of it." And so now he sees me every day, and we kind of wave, and he goes, "You're on your walk again?" And I go, "Yep, that's what I'm doing." And so we've had this conversation. So I pray for him. He's not a believer yet, but he's watching our church and what we're doing, and he's really intrigued by it. But I just want to encourage you this morning to pour out your troubles to the Lord, to be honest before him, to just open up and let him know what you're discouraged about. He understands and he cares. The second thing that we have to remember is that we have to remember God's kindness, his faithfulness, his love, his gentleness, all these things. And this is why, one of the reasons why you're here this morning. This is why we go to church, folks. This is why when it's snowing outside and it's gray and it's dreary, we still get up and we still go. I'm going to tell you why. Why do we go to church? Because sometimes when we come together, we remember what we forget on our own. That God is good and his love endures forever. There are times when you are so discouraged. There are times when you are so down and you're struggling and your faith is just not there, and yet you come together with the body of Christ and you look around and you see the faith in those around you. You see the passion in those around you as they worship the Lord, as they sing songs of praise, and that lifts you up, that builds you up. There are those times when you just don't have it in you. It just took all that you had to just be here this morning. You couldn't even sing the songs. I've been there before. But I come together and worship with the body of Christ, because in those moments, I look in the eyes of those around me and I am receiving inspiration and encouragement and hope by their faith. By their faith. The other thing that we need to do, and this is obvious, your pastor is telling you to go to church. He's also telling you to read your Bibles. Why? Because we see how God has been faithful over and over again in Scripture. We see that these heroes of the faith also were discouraged at points in their lives, also struggled and battled and fought and wrestled, and yet we see how God was there and was faithful. So can I challenge you with something? There's nothing wrong with Facebook. We spend a lot of time on it. It's like a time sucker of our free time. Could I challenge you that for every minute you spend on Facebook, you spend 2 minutes in the book of the Bible, because you're going to get a whole lot more inspiration and encouragement there than you are on Facebook. I was reminded of this, and I was going to tell a story, so I'll tell a brief one. In the first couple years, Samantha and I have been missionaries now in France since 2005, so almost 13 years. The first couple years that we were in the south of France before we came to Crossroads in 2009, we went through a really rough patch of ministry. And I remember our first trip back to San Diego, where we're from, in 2007. We'd been here for 2 years. Our church there had sent us out as missionaries, and we were so excited to come. And then the first 2 years just went nothing like we thought we would. And we basically came home worn out, exhausted, discouraged, and embarrassed a little bit, because we're supposed to be super spiritual as missionaries, right? And walking on water at all times. And our friends, you know, we just went to worship with them, and it was all we had in us just to be there present with them and to just cry out to God and pour our hearts out to him. Seeing the faith of our friends and the passion they had for worship, it reignited a flame in us. It encouraged us to keep going, to keep fighting the good fight. So friends, we need to remember to pour out our struggles to the Lord, to cast our burdens on him. We need to remember that he is faithful. He is faithful, and his love endures forever. That's why we worship. That's why we sing. That's why we come together as the body of believers. Now, the third thing we have to do is we have to realize that we're in a spiritual battle. That we are in a spiritual battle. As I said earlier, the enemy wants to cast doubt, discouragement, confusion in your life whenever and wherever possible. And if you're not aware of that, then you're just an easy target for discouragement. It's interesting to me as I've been looking back over my journal the last few years and reflecting and seeing the highs and the lows. Every time God's done something really great in our lives as a family or as a church, I also see these challenges and struggles that immediately pop up in my face. And I know what the devil's trying to do. Because if I'm discouraged, if he discourages you, then you tend to withdraw and not be the bold witness that God wants you to be. When you're fighting those battles of discouragement, we tend to isolate ourselves and we tend to doubt what God has told us to do. We tend to struggle and to pull away, and that's where he wants us. So he's going to keep doing that all the time. And so we need to remember, the Bible does encourage us. Some of these verses that you know so well, but I have a couple of them on the screen that just remind us, like in Ephesians, it says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. The battles that you are facing, there is a spiritual component to what's going on there, and we have to recognize that and remember that. That other person at work is not the enemy. That other person in the church that you disagree with is not the enemy. The devil is the enemy. Now, the devil uses us in ways to hurt people and things that happen, but we have to remember there's something deeper going on. There's something deep and growing. And so what does James tell us? He says that we are to submit ourselves to God, and then we are to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. So when I start feeling these waves of discouragement coming in over this situation or that situation, I'm reminded to say, Satan, you have no part in this. I resist you in Jesus' name. Those doubts, those thoughts, those accusations that are flying towards me right now, the blood of Jesus covers me. I want to encourage you this week as you face things and challenges and to remember that there is a spiritual component to things. It's been said, and I love this phrase, that the tough times never last in our lives. You may be going through one of those periods right now, but tough people do. We as Christians have to be resilient. We have to have this courageous persistence to keep fighting the good fight, because there's moments in our lives when we are going to feel ready to give up and give in. Over the years, there have been points as a pastor that I've wanted to quit. I'll be honest, there's been points where I've wanted to quit. It was too much. And I don't know if that shocks you or not, but just to, as I said earlier, to remember that your elders and your pastors, they're human beings, and they need your prayers and support. But there have been moments when I've wanted to quit and give up, and the Lord is just reminding me to just hang in there, to keep fighting the good fight, to not give up, to hold on to him, and he will carry you through it. And I'm here to testify today that he is faithful, and he will carry you through whatever you are facing. The fourth thing we have to remember. So we have to remember to release our troubles to the Lord. We have to remember that God is good and he's faithful and he's just and he's kind and his love endures forever. We have to remember that, realize that we're in a spiritual battle. And now the fourth thing, we have to rely on others. We have to rely on others. But here's what usually happens. When I'm struggling or when you're struggling, instead of leaning towards the community of faith, we tend to pull back. Maybe it's because we're embarrassed or we're ashamed, because we shouldn't be discouraged like this. We should have more faith. I don't know what it is for you, but for me, there's this tendency, instead of leaning in to the community, which God wants to use to bless and encourage one another with, we have this tendency to pull back and isolate ourselves. That's exactly where the enemy wants us to be, is alone, away, apart from the body of Christ. Because what does the Bible teach us? The Bible tells us to carry one another's burdens. The Bible says, let us consider how we may spur one another on and towards love and good deeds, and how we can encourage one another. The body is meant to carry the burdens together. There's a lady in our church named Jane. Some of you may know her. And Jane, she's a hero for me. But Jane was she walked basically away from her faith for a long, long time. She went through some really hard things in her past. And I can understand why she was bitter at the church. And so she was far away from God, and she made her way back towards God and became a part of our church several years ago. And she came to one of our we had a Christianity Explored course where she was just wrestling through her faith and her journey. And it was so exciting to see God at work in her heart and how she now had, in a sense, rededicated her life to the Lord. And there's just joy in her heart. At that same time, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. That's tough. But the beautiful thing is Jane has been loved on by our community in a very tangible and practical way, and encouraged her, supported her, taken her to her doctor's appointments, and she still shows up to church right after chemo. I'm so inspired by her faith because she recognizes that the church has been such a support to her, a lifeline for her. Friends, that's what the church should be like. We should bear one another's burdens. We should be encouraging one another, supporting each other. And when you pull back and you isolate yourself and you don't let anybody in and allow them to know what's going on, they can't help you. They can't help bear those burdens. That's why home groups are so important. That's why these different kinds of things in the church are so important, to connect you with one another so you know enough about other people that you're sitting around that you can be there in those moments when you just can't go on anymore on your own. Jane is still a part of our church. Keep praying for her. She is fighting this cancer, and I just am so inspired by her faith that continues to grow day by day. But I use her as an example of just this notion that we need to rely on others. There's times in our lives when we especially just can't go anymore on our own. And that's the way God made us. He did not want us to be independent. He wanted us to be dependent upon one another. And this leads me to my last point, and that is sometimes when we're really discouraged, we need to reinforce someone else's faith. That kind of seems counterintuitive, but when you're kind of so focused in on your problems and your issues, one of the best ways for you to fight that discouragement is get your eyes off of yourself and think about somebody else that you can bless and encourage. David, right? We talked about David just briefly. He was an amazing man of God. And it said in the one verse that I was sharing earlier that he encouraged himself in the Lord. But there's also another passage of Scripture which is important to remind us the bigger picture in 1 Samuel 23. Excuse me. David had an amazing friend named Jonathan. And it says this in 1 Samuel chapter 23. It says, "And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God." I love that picture. Jonathan went to find his friend who was fleeing for his life to encourage him and to build him up in his faith. We look at David and think, wow, mighty man of faith, all these things. David himself also needed encouragement. So one of the reasons why we come to church in the morning is to receive from the Lord a word of encouragement. But have you thought about, is there someone that God wants you to encourage this morning? Have you come with an attitude to say, who could I bless this morning? Holy Spirit, who could you lead me to give just the right word to encourage them today? That's part of the beauty of the body of Christ. So just to recap, as I'm running out of time, I'm looking at the clock. I know you have there's another service after this. I'm not used to that. So I can just go on and on in Tuareg because we have one service. And then, you know, they're just... So I'm trying to be on time here. You might be here this morning and you're like, Justice, those are all really good points, you know, and good things for me to do. I need to remember to release my troubles to the Lord, to pour out my heart to him. I need to remember that he is faithful by reading my Bible and coming to church. You know, I need to realize I'm in a spiritual battle. I know it's good that I should rely on others. And, it's really important that I think about somebody else I might be able to bless. But I'm just at the end of myself. I want to show you a song, a video, to wrap up my message. by a band called Mercy Me, which is a Christian artist that I really enjoy some of their songs. And I think this song may resonate. I really hope it does resonate with you. If all you can do is pray, is cry out this song to God, then you've heard enough this morning and my job is done. But I just want you to know that God loves you. No matter how discouraged you feel this morning, there is light at the end of the tunnel. He will not let you fall. He will not let you fall. And as a church, I don't know if we had a meter up here that says discouragement, encouragement, where the meter would be on the wall for us as a church here in Ferney. But know that God has good plans for this church. He is not done with Crossroads Ferney. Can we play the song? Sound.
Right now, I'm losing bed. Stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright. But right now, I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But they say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing a little faith is all I have right now. God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be sing. It is well with my soul. I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt would all go away. Jesus, I will cling to you, come what may, 'cause I know you're able, I know you care. My soul.
for that inspiring message.